Okay, well, call the meeting of Joint Appropriations back into order. Apologize to those of you in the audience as we sit here and eat and try to work at the same time. But given our schedule, that's the only choice we have. So we were working the state-funded capital construction bill. At the last point, we had... We're working the priority list, pages 6 and 7, and the language, of course, is on 8 and 9. Any additional amendments? Yes.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I have an amendment on page 6.
Page 6.
On page 6, I move to delete line 18.
Page 6?
That's... You move to delete the A&I, State Facilities Casper, $20 million?
Correct.
Is there a second? Second. Okay, discussion.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. This kind of narrows Senator Hastert's original amendment just a bit. This would be our, I believe, our first payment into the Casper State Facilities account. And I'll just reiterate my argument from the first motion to eliminate all of the general funds, that right now this probably isn't the time to start a new major capital construction project. If we have the money next year, we could absolutely do it or consider it. But my motion is that we delay this project by at least a year.
Okay. Further discussion.
Mr. Chairman, just a update for the committee on kind of both the genesis and the time-sensitive nature of this project. It really comes about because of the state's main office building, which is located on Center Street there in Casper, which was, I don't know, state has had since the early 60s. They were notified by the city of Casper about 4 years ago, maybe even more, that there were life, health, safety issues that needed to be remedied, need to be brought up to code. And when they did the work to determine the cost of those remedies, it was on the order of $8 to $9 million of work on a $2 million building. And the reason the state has continued to be allowed to use that building is because the state has made efforts to move forward on a new building that you know, meets code. And so this is a situation that we can't just wait forever. There is a building that we need to replace, and so it's already phased out, so I think it's appropriate to leave this in.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, the other thing to add on to that is it's a larger building than the one that's there, but you've got leased space all over Casper that when this building's built will help consolidate that in. So there's some substantial, and I don't remember, we've got some folks here from A&I Construction, but they might be able to give us the numbers on how much we're spending per year in Casper on state leases. So there's that. And then the other thing that happens too is most of these services are provided, employment services, there are family services, there are, workers' compensation. You've got services again with all kinds of folks that are now having to shuttle all over Casper trying to find that but in the end what's driving this is what Representative Stubson talked about. Thank you,
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Cook.
Just to pile on that deal. The agencies that are spread all over town provide these services to really the most vulnerable people in the central part of the state. And we're in one of the buildings that we do own, we're upside down on. It's worth $2 million. We owe $9 million in construction to bring it up to code. So I think on a 60-year-old building. And so, and again, I think the rent was mentioned, and I can't remember the repayment schedule for that because we're going to pull everybody out of these lease payments. So people who are coming for these services are going to be a one-stop shop instead of saying, okay, now you've left workforce services, go over to this agency or that agency out in Mills or this one in Evansville and rented space. So that's the idea, is the efficiency. And I think it's a 12-year. I'd like to ask State Facilities, what was that payback? I've seen the numbers. I don't have the report right in front of me.
If you were to come up, you need to speak into the mic, and, of course, you need to address yourself. We know who you are, but our secretaries, of course, are in the other room, and so for the record, they can't see you, so you need to be able to speak.
Mr. Chairman, Co-Chairman Harshman, Ian Cattalier, ANI Construction Management. We did a repayment schedule on this proposed building, and the initial amortization showed about a 17-year payback, if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Harshman.
How much is your lease space and stuff out there in Casper?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have the dollar amount, but I can tell you that we currently own about 65,000 square feet, and we are currently leasing about 75,000 square feet.
Okay. Do you know what the average lease is?
Mr. Chairman, I'd hate to, I'd have to get back with you with those figures.
It's about 18? Okay. All right. Further discussion, Senator Hatcher, I know.
Chairman, I certainly appreciate that there's, the building's falling apart and that, people are having to run around for services, and I'm certainly sensitive to that. And, I don't know if the answer to the question was there additional lease space available that could be utilized. I mean, in our other, some of the other bills that we've worked on, some of the other issues, we heard about time-sensitive issues. We've heard about a lot of different issues on buildings around the state for other purposes that are falling apart. And, it was determined that, we don't have the money right now and have the resources to do that. So I would caution that and think we should take another look at it.
Okay. Ready for the question? All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That amendment's failed. Okie doke. Any additional amendments to the appropriations on pages 6 and 7, 8 and 9?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
You're not going to like this, but I would like to strike line 27 on page 7. And on page 17, line 22.
Wait a minute.
On page 19, line 23, which essentially is the UW Science Initiative. And I would move that at this time.
And the motion is to take that completely out of the bill? Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay.
Thank
Senator
you, Mr.
Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What we're looking at is a total project of $109 million. So this is just the start of the project. So this actually takes $51.2 million from the project and stops it before it starts. It does leave to the University of Wyoming $28.9 million in future projects. So they're receiving substantial amount. And, Mr. Chairman, I just think that in this economic time, we cannot afford this. We have already spent $900 million at the University of Wyoming. This will take us over $1 billion in construction in the last 10 years. And I think it's over the top for the amount of money that we have right now. And I would urge your favorable vote.
Question. Don, how much we have some money already appropriated, do we not, for the science initiative? Or is that in tranche 3 that didn't?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that's in tranche 3. You do have operating money, so we've started to ramp up the science initiative on the operations side. But I don't believe that we have funds on the capital construction side.
How much do we have on the operations side?
Mr. Chairman, I believe it was $8 million appropriated in the last biennium.
Okay. Well, I'll open it up for discussion.
There was a second.
There was a second by Senator Burns.
Just want to make a correction on the number. I think it was referenced that it was 109. I think the number is right at 100 is what's been proposed, and that's what's been budgeted for. Just to be clear on that.
Don, did you have something? Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
I think the budget, we actually have about $99 million in the budget, $99,200,000, and the number's about $100 million exact. So we're close to that number, but I haven't heard the number of $108 million or $109 million. But just so we're clear on that. And then I just, I think it's, I guess here, I'm going to vote no, because I think if there's going to be one thing that's going to probably diversify and kind of continue to grow the state, you know, our smart kids. And so I'm not going to apologize for the $3.5 billion in school CapCon the last 18 years. Not going to apologize for the $1 billion at the University of Wyoming or the $1 billion at our community colleges. Or certainly the billions of dollars in our communities. You go to every community in Wyoming, it's got a new fire hall and a new town hall and a new jail and all those things. Those things are good. And we've done that when we had a real surplus. And this is one-time funds that will be for this project that will really, I think, could transform the university and the state and continue to grow that. So I think that's a huge piece of this thing. And so that's why I'm going to vote no on the deal. I just think it's a great investment for our state and will pay dividends long after we're all gone. I think it's, you know, one of those things that can be a real game changer for our state.
Don?
Mr. Chairman, I apologize. I need to correct. We put the $8 million for Tier 1 engineering operations. It was, I believe, $750,000 for the science initiative operations.
Okay. All right. Okay, other comments? Are you ready for the question?
What, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, we still have a substantial amount of money going to the University of Wyoming at almost $29 million. And like my Democratic friends have said, you know, this does open up funding for other things. So I would ask the committee to think about what our forecasted Craig report is in 2019-2020. And just think about where we're going to be in that biennium and how difficult it's going to be to finish this project. This has long-term lasting effects on our budget, and so I would ask you to vote no.
Oh, to vote aye?
We will vote no. We definitely will.
I was already planning on voting no, but now. Okay, any further discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That motion has failed. Any other further amendments there? Yes.
I've got a couple different motions, but first of all, I'd like to move going down to page 9, lines 16 and 17. This is the $4,500,000, which is the payback for the high bay facility. And I'd like to move that to the top of the list, up above state facilities. And the point here is it's only $4.5 million. It's money that's everything's in the hopper, everything's ready to go, so the first dollars that come in will have an immediate expenditures basically going out. And so it's just taking, and I've got another similar motion, but it's just taking that small amount and moving it up ahead in front of the $45 million, because that could take through the end of the fall or later. To accumulate that much money. But this project, and we're backfilling money that's already designed, everything done. As soon as the money's there, the construction will go forward. So I would move that number G, or letter G, gets moved up to be the first priority.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Show of hands, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Motion fails.
Motion passes.
Six to five, huh? No? Who's not here?
You got to vote.
Oh, I got to vote.
How many? Maybe do this again.
How many?
Vote again.
All those in favor, show your hands. So, one, two. Oh, we got seven. All right, so it's seven to five, no matter what we do, or greater. We got rolled.
And Mr. Chair,
eight to four. Roll. Chairman, rolled by your chairman. That's good. Rolled by.
Roll tied. All right,
Mr. Chair, and then in the same vein, if you go to page 19 and 20, that's basically a study for $1 million on the energy plant. So all that is a study, and there's no reason to wait 2 years out to get the study done. So I would move to make that number two.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion.
I mean, I think maybe maybe someone could just help me remember what A was about, because I thought A had to do with correcting safety and life issues at the shop. There's a shop that needs to be replaced and had to be health and safety issues at that shop. Am I not remembering that right?
John? Anybody? I have that. That's $1 million was for a study.
And so, Mr. Chairman, I guess my question to Representative, who made the motion? Was it Representative Nix on the motion? Was, so you want to move the study above, this is a new building, but it has to do with relieving some life and safety issues, and that's what you want to reprioritize that?
I think you're talking about A and H?
I thought that's what the, it's A on page 8. Lines 21 through 23.
My understanding is that that's a whole building, and the study for it is already done. That's if you go to page 10, number that A, and those funds are already in place.
Don, can you help us here?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the total amount for the appropriations exceeded the amount of money that we needed from the federal funds that we anticipate receiving. So $1.486 million came from straight general funds, and we just applied that to the first priority in the list that was given. There was no rationale as to why or why that amount or something, other than the fact that the list of general fund appropriations exceeds the amount that we anticipate receiving from the federal government. So we needed to make that up.
So when you come back, at the end of the day, we're moving, if I understand the motion, you're moving the $1 million study will be above the forestry OLS, the forestry building, the forestry shop. That's what your motion does. It moves that down in priority.
I understand
the motion.
In all reality, it doesn't matter to me if it's in front of or behind the forestry shop. I just want it to be in front of the $45 million for the State Facilities Commission. Once again, it's because it's funding for design level one and two in order to facilitate those to move forward. And so it would be nice to get those studies underway so that if and when the time comes and the rest of these are funded, then the study will be complete. But in terms of where it sits with relation to the forestry building is not that important to me. Right now, the forestry building is below the state facilities. And so to answer your question directly, yeah, it would be above it because it would be above the state facility, $45
million. Okay. Okay, further discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No.
The motion's passed. All right. Anything else?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Two quick clarifications. Number one, in my comments this morning, I indicated that the AML fund or federal funds would be coming to YDOT in a pattern based upon when projects are complete. Some of those funds will be used, a large portion of those funds will be used for maintenance of highways as well. And it is possible that the YDOT can use those funds in a more expeditious manner than I had originally anticipated. So it's possible that these projects fill up a little quicker than I had anticipated. Now, what schedule that is, I don't know, but it's possible that these funds materialize faster than expected. The second thing I would mention is on the WAMI University of Wyoming Medical Education Level 2 study, it is the last item listed on page 8, and we did not include that $300,000 in the priority list in any place. And it should be. So we have a draft amendment that puts it in last, but of course that was just in the order it was received. If you wish to put it in another place, we need to fill it in somewhere.
Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I move the amendment that Don suggested that we all have as written.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That amendment's been adopted. All right. Continuing on. Further amendments? Anything further on the list on page 6, 7,
Mr.
Eight,
Chairman?
Nine. Yes.
I don't have an amendment. I do have a question. On the on J, on page top of page 10, $3 million for property purchases. Are these, I assume these are, this is property to the north of the campus. Are these four specific buildings going in now, or is this just for future hopes and dreams?
Chris, would you want to answer that, please?
Mr. Chairman, Chris Boswell with the University of Wyoming. The intent of the request for the appropriation is primarily for property purchases related to the science initiative. But there are other potential properties that to the north of campus in that same area, which might also be included.
So part of this is also consolidating property for future use?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Is that delineated? Are the properties themselves delineated?
No, Mr. Chairman. One of the considerations is that the engineering building, if it, depending on the final footprint of the engineering building, may to some degree approach the next street to the north, which I'm forgetting the name of at this moment, and that there may be an interest on the part of some landlords. Again, these are primarily rental properties to sell. And that opportunity might be worth exploring while we're doing this. The guess is that the $3 million would primarily be spent at 9th and Lewis for the Science Initiative facility. But it's not purely restricted to that block.
All right. So let's move on then. We're The next section is the Health Department Facilities Task Force. Any amendments there? Section 4?
Mr. Chairman, on page 13, lines 21 and 22, that's just a placeholder. It would be appreciated if the committee would act on that one way or the other. We just put that in there. The committee did not.
Was that a swag or is that a pretty good...
Mr. Chairman, it was based on the amount that the same committee spent in 15-16 biennium.
Yes.
So, Mr. Chairman, as it's written, does it take any action on our part, or if that $40,000 is pretty accurate, do we just leave the bill as is? Okay, thank you.
Okay. It's the $40,000 for the time. All right. Mr. Co-Chairman.
And then I just wanted to... Just in my notes on page 12 on line 7, 7, 8, 9, we did vote the $9 million in level 3. Is that right? We amended that the other day?
Mr. Chairman, you have not.
So that's needs to be done, I think, so we can get out of the gates. And this should come out of that $35 million that we have already in savings, that we've been saving for this project. Right. Would, and is this the place to put that? Okay, the $9 million.
Is it nine or?
That's a number that was brought to us from the select committee, I think. Okay. I mean, if it's not used, it'll be retained. It's not going to. So the motion be to add that $9 million in there for the level three design so they can get going immediately if this bill passes.
Up to nine,
yeah. They'll have the right language. And
all right. Is there a second?
Sir.
Do we need to delineate that that comes out of prior appropriated funds or something like that? Or?
Mr. Chairman, I'm understanding the motion is from the state facilities construction account.
Okay. All right. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, just a question. So I know when we did level one, level two, the costs of those were significantly less than, I think we had $1.5 million budgeted for them, and they were significantly less. Did those dollars just flow back into the health facilities account, or are they still out there? Can they be used for this purpose, too?
Mr. Chairman, we could revert those, if you would like, to ensure that they return to the account.
Yeah, I would like to do that, whatever. Do we need to do that in this bill? Or
Mr. Chairman, I think it would be good to have the motion, and then we will pull it back as necessary. There's one more piece out there, just for your knowledge. There's $211,000 sitting in the Department of Health for the executive branch costs of that health facility that was also never expended. And depending on the pleasure of the committee, we could pull that back with the leftover level one, level two, or leave it out there.
And I would amend the motion to bring both of those back in.
Yeah. Okay. Second.
Mr. Question on that, Don, on that, on the 11 million, the 40 million, excuse me, the $40,000 to cover the expense associated with the task force, did that include the executive expenses, or was there a separate appropriation for the executive expenses, expenditures on that task force?
Mr. Chairman, this is only for the legislative memberships. The two members from the executive branch are both state employees, so their costs associated with meeting are covered by their normal agencies and salaries. Previously, I believe the first year of the task force included language that the governor could appoint people outside of state government.
Got it. Okay.
All right. So as I understand it, the sponsor of the original motion deemed this bringing back the reversion money, or bringing back those money so it's not reverted into the capital, into the construction account, is a friendly amendment.
Friendly.
So without objection, we'll vote on the total amendment. Okay? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted. Anything further with regards to the task force? Then we have the Wyoming State Veterinary Biosafety Level 3 Laboratory, Section 5. Any amendments there? Carryover appropriations, land acquisition, honor farm. Any amendments? Okay. Conditional appropriations is on page 16 from investment earnings. Any amendments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Hopefully I'm not jumping in, but just on, I do want to make some amendments to the amounts on, and I'll do them simultaneously on 17 and 19. Which are both the 2017 and 2018 SIPA appropriations. And we had some. Okay, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about lines.
No, sorry, pages.
Okay.
And, Mr. Chairman, we've got, I think, some more accurate numbers on some of these, so I want to alter. This is really just to true up the numbers to be more accurate.
Is this in the handout that we? Is that what?
Yeah,
that we all received.
Correct.
So maybe we can
Where's
follow along.
At? Which was prepared by LSO Budget Fiscal Staff.
Is it? What is it?
It's a 8.5 by 11 one pager.
Yeah,
it's a chart.
This one.
That's the one.
All right.
Hold that up for everybody.
This one.
Yeah,
look over your bad shoulder.
And, Mr. Chairman, my motion would be to add $2 million to the state facilities CASPER for both $2 million for 2017 and $2 million for 2018, which would be a total of an additional $4 million for that project.
So the line would then read on page 20. This is on...
On page 17, line 23, that would be $12 million.
That would be $12
million. And page 20, line 1, would be $12
million. Okay.
And then I would reduce the state health facilities appropriation for fiscal year 17, which would be on line 21, page 17. I would reduce that by $5 million to $20 million. And then finally, on the UW Science Initiative, I would add $400,000 to both years of that. So it would be $24,400,000 for each of those years' appropriations.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay. Discussion, if you would, explain.
Chairman, could you repeat the last one? I was busy writing. I was still on the state health facilities.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the last one would be, so line 22, page 17, would be $24,400,000. And similarly, page 19, line 23, would be $24,400,000.
Okay. And that's...
the initiative, science initiative?
Yeah.
So...
Go ahead and discuss it.
Okay, Mr. Coach.
Yes.
So, Representative Stubson, so looking at the LSO chart, so you reduce the state health facilities by five, so there's an extra 700 really in there, which a project that large is...
Yeah, that's the way I did it.
Three-tenths of a percent. Okay, this way. All right. Thank you.
All right, any discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion's been adopted. All right. Anything further on conditional appropriations for 17 and 18? We're now over to interfund loan. This is a guarantee from the 1% statutory diversion. Anything further on that? Section 9? How about Section 10?
Mr. Chairman, I just have a question on the interloan, Section 9, and I'm trying to understand that when that would become activated in terms of the list that we just created or any of our obligations. Could you just explain that, if you could, Don?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nicholas, good question. The funds from the SIPA, which you just approved, would be eligible for a loan to the extent there are funds available from the 1% severance tax distribution account, regardless of the investment earnings. So it's not contingent upon strong investment earnings in either 17 or 18. But, for example, if there's and the 1% generates roughly $100 million a year, $98 million per year. So to the extent there's $100 million in that account, it would be used to back up, say, SIPA 17. And then the next year there would be another $100 million, and it would be used to back up SIPA 18. There is one challenge, and that is the total amount you have appropriated from SIPA is roughly $145 million. You also are using this same account as the backstop for the 5% statutory reserve account amount in the budget bill. So you have essentially a pot of $200 million backing up or guaranteeing $245 million. So there will be the last $40 million will not be able to be guaranteed either from the statutory reserve account or from SIPA 18.
And Mr. Chairman, on that point, I thought we were backing up the statutory reserve account to the extent available or wasn't otherwise obligated for this bill. That's what I understood. But.
And I think we can still kind of work that in the bill, general operations bill, coming up next.
Well, Mr. Chairman, is that something that we ought to put in this bill as well? I mean, and if we're guaranteeing both sides, you know, kind of double guaranteeing to some extent, which one takes priority?
I think we can do that in the general operations bill. I think that's where you state that.
Ron?
My thoughts. But.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Greer is, I would say, correct that the SRA, or statutory reserve amount, 5%, about $104 million, it may use interfund loans from the unexpended, unobligated balance. So I think it, if nothing has changed, would be second tier. SIPA would be first tier, these projects in the CapCon bill, and the statutory reserve amount would be second tier.
All right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So did that answer your question, Representative Nicholas? Okay. We're on section 10.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Just a quick question. On the SIPA funds, are we required to repay that back? And if so, is there an interest rate?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, there is no interest rate applied to this interfund loan. And it would be a obligation for future legislators to the extent investment income was not realized.
Okay. Yes, Representative.
It's the first dollar.
We're talking about authorizing Section 8 of this act. Is that really Section 9 of the act, which is the interfund?
Yeah, Representative Conley, that's a good catch, and we noted that, and that'll get cleaned up in the technical corrections. Thanks.
All right.
So, Mr. Chair, if I could just go on then. So now that I understand it, if we don't want, for example, the 1%, the capture of the 1% to automatically guarantee these projects, then we could and instead go to the general fund so that it could be used to kind of pay for programs or the general operations of the state. We could simply get rid of, on page 19, line 6, starting with the word in down to line 15, and then get rid of section 9. Is that true?
Yeah, Representative Conley, if you just wanted these contingent appropriations to be from SIPA without a guarantee, that's how you'd go about doing it. Yeah, and then make the conforming amendments also to if you wanted the contingent appropriations in 2017, too, which are in Section 7.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make that motion. Again, what the purpose of this motion, and it would take the conforming amendments elsewhere, is simply not to do the guarantee. I mean, I know I was kind of forbidden. It was done jokingly that we can't talk about Tranche 3 anymore, but in some ways I think that we are setting up somewhat of the equivalent here. And so I would much rather what we deal with the 1% someplace else. We put it to the general fund. We even put it to LISRA. But I'd rather not guarantee these capital construction projects with that 1%.
Okay, is there a second? Okay. Any further discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That motion's failed. Okay. So anything further on Section 10 then? Section 12 is the end of the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, in Section 12, I would motion that we add to that list item Romanet 3, which is the build-out of the 144 beds at the medium security prison, to make that immediate.
Second. Okay, discussion. So adding the medium security into the effective date immediately.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a question of the...
Sure.
Representative Burkhart, what's your... I mean, making it effective immediately makes it effective essentially 3 months earlier. And the director was talking about that it would be that it would take 15 months. I mean, is your concern that we need to get on that faster than July 1st, or what's the concern there?
Mr. Chairman, the department has asked for that. I think they'd like to get started as quick as possible to start leading ahead on repairs that are going to be needed at WSP, and that money comes out of that permanent land fund. I think they could probably go after it at any point.
Mr. Chairman?
So yeah. It's not general fund.
If I can clarify, when you finish up, then I'll be done. So, Mr. Chairman, maybe I misheard. I thought you were talking about the 13.5, which is to do the build out of the WMCI, or were you talking about the electrical and the electrical in the hallway?
Mr. Chairman, I'm talking about the 13.5 for the prison in Torrington, not the electrical repairs. And again, the agency has asked for that. And I was just trying to meet their needs.
Mr. Lampert just walked in the middle of this thing, so if you would indulge us and ask him to come up and explain.
I'd be more than happy to have him come forward.
Why his department thinks they're more important than anybody else.
Whoa.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Burns, because we are. Mr. Chairman, the reason that we ask for approval upon signature for the WMCI facility is for the timing for WSP. If those beds come online at the beginning of fiscal year 18, which with a 15-month window and immediate upon signature, we would be able to, at that point, if we displaced any inmates from WSP, avoid any out-of-state costs for that displacement.
Okay.
That 3 months makes the difference.
Good answer. All right. You ready for the question? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted. Anything further? Question on the bill?
Mr. Chairman, I've got a couple of questions.
Do we have did we do this one?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, you would need to move that as well.
Okay.
And that's just candidly, you've already voted on that to include it, and it was considered for alternative bills, and it fits best here.
Okay. So this is a cleanup. We've already voted. This is on the engineering building and University of Wyoming.
The match. What is the match language?
Match language.
Oh, we're covering the match?
Yeah. Okay. You ready for the... Anybody so moved yet? I couldn't hear you.
Where are you at? What page?
Basically, it's that we're listing the priority list on capital construction.
Mr. Chairman, it's 167.1 million, and I'm rounding that 0.1.
What does that have to do with this?
Would somebody like to move this amendment? We'll just get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion amendment's been adopted. Further, Representative Nicholas?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to section 7. I've got a page 7. On page 7, the priority list, and then it would also go in at the bottom of page 9. And what is being handed out to you now is it's the London Library expansion at Delft, BC. if, and you folks have not seen this before, and what happened.
I have this on. What happened was when the budget reductions came out, or the lack of funding, if you will, and a lot of the community colleges removed their funding requests from the list that they just didn't go in. Had those listed of all the community college proposals that went in, had they been in and reviewed by us, and the number one would be the one in Northwest, where the good Senator Burns is. Number two and number three both come from LCCC as the greatest need, and the in terms of all capital construction through the community colleges. And if you look at the London Library, that's a $8 million project. So that's what I just handed out to you, which is an explanation, and it's a build out and a remodel of the library. So it can go from 4% of the population to up about 8 to 9%. So it's adding, you'll see what the adage of the square footage is on there. And so they pulled that out. So, and the reason they pulled it out was because they were just saying there's not enough funds. And I said, well, there are two coming in, and it seems to me that if this would be the priority, then at least it ought to be considered by the, by joint appropriations. And then the community college came back to me and said, instead of, and if you'll see the payout sheet on the funding, which has total funds 8.9 million and the amount of private revenue of general funds at 4.9 million. What they have, LCCC has come back and said, look, if you just give us $2.5 million, and we'll build out the rest of it at 8.8 million. So basically, we're getting two for one on the dollar for the construction, and it's just a unique time. They've got one or two donors that are willing to step up to it. And so my motion then would be to add at the bottom of the list an appropriation of $2.5 million for the London Library Learning Center, and there's an explanation of what it is there. And how they go about, and because it's a small project, there is no level three funding. It just goes right to the level two is done. We've already paid for that, so it's already in the works, and that's why it's number two or number three on the Capcon list in the model rankings. But what we're doing, instead of paying $4.9 million that was going to be requested, we're requesting that we only appropriate $2.5 million for the project. In other words, they're going to pay 2-to-1 on the dollar for the project.
Okay. Is there a second? I'll second it for discussion purposes. I'd like to know, I mean, is there sufficient funds in the...
Mr. Chairman, the net effect of it would be an increase of the transfer from the LSRA to the general fund by $2.5 million in the operating bill.
Okay. All right.
So it's not in this bill.
It's not in this bill, then.
Mr. Chairman, if you wanted to appropriate LSRA dollars in this bill, that would be another option that would accomplish the same purpose.
Or you could do it out of SIPA, right?
Or you could do it out of, yes.
And actually, I would think that the appropriate place would probably be out of SIPA because of the 160 million-dollar cap that exists.
Okay. All right. Discussion? You ready for the question? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Question.
You want a division?
Division.
All those in favor, raise your hand.
Oh, come on.
That's failed.
It'll be bad.
Okay. Anything else? With regard to state-funded capital construction. Hearing none, would you call the roll?
Representative Burkhart.
Aye.
Representative Connolly.
No.
Representative Greer.
Aye.
Representative Moniz.
Aye.
Representative Nicholas.
Aye.
Representative Stubson.
Aye.
Senator Burns.
Aye.
Senator Hastert.
No.
Senator Perkins.
Aye.
Senator Wasserberger.
No.
Co-Chairman Harshman. Chairman Ross?
Aye.
9-3.
And it's majority of both houses. Okay. So,
6-1.
Huh? 3-2, 6-1. Take a short little break here. I got to run to the restroom. I think we're up now on the general appropriations bill. Is that correct? We're going to take 5 minutes, and then we'll come back. Call the meeting back to order.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Co-Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, just working with staff and some of the committee members, the bill we just passed, and I had it on my list. It's my fault I didn't bring this up. But when we voted in the budget, there were three Casper office building options, and we voted all three of them. Okay, and so there were basically different site configurations, and then or a parking garage or surface parking. Those are the three options. So we didn't really specify the option, and so that was my intent in that. And then the other piece of this, there's some land purchases, and we talked about some at the University of Wyoming, but some of these options that State Building Commission has already put money down on, I think, are coming due this spring after we leave town, and so. There's some effective immediately issue on some of this land. And so that's what I wanted to address. So I think the proper, I think I have to move to reopen it or to
reconsider.
Is it actually a motion of reconsideration or to revisit it? Or Matt, what do you?
Mr. Chairman, I guess it probably accurately is a motion to revisit. I don't know. You know, it's committee. Yeah, if you have an affirmative motion to reconsider your vote.
Well, we'll take this as a motion to reopen the bill for further consideration. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? That's the bill's back open. Mr. Co-Chairman.
Well, on the issue of this land purchase, it'd be on page 10, I think, Mr. Chairman, I think is a solution. And if somebody in the committee has better, you know, an idea on this, we've got a section that is effective immediately, that are funds that are available. And it's and on page 10 and paragraph A on line 7 and paragraph B on line 12. And those two combined are 486,526 dollars. So I wanted to also just basically put in there, put those sums together. I mean, we know what they are. And then also put that as a total, I think, would be the most efficient way, the 11.486 million for the Forestry Level 3, the University of Wyoming, and land purchases to facilitate these projects, and this would all have to be approved by the State Building Commission because we're out of town, and that's something they just have to weigh and bring all these together as they manage these projects. And so I think we got to give them some. So that's what it is just giving some of this for some of these. This is all a timing issue, Mr. Chairman, is what I'm trying to solve. So that's my proposal on that. I think a way to fix this.
Don?
Mr. Chairman, I think you want it all out of B. A actually becomes effective July 1. That's not part of the effective immediately.
Oh, and A is not?
A is
yeah,
not.
And A yeah. could be. So A could be effective immediately. Those dollars are...
You could. It would change the profile.
Okay. So just B then wouldn't change profile.
Correct.
Is this the right place to put it, Don?
Yes, I think B would be the right place.
Yeah, B. So I was thinking A wouldn't change profile. I don't want to go into an effective immediately and increase the 16 budget deficit. I don't want to do that. So it would have to be in B under the 10 million University of Wyoming College of Engineering and land purchases to facilitate these projects, and this would all be approved by the State Building Commission.
Okay.
So if they didn't prove it, it doesn't happen.
Is there a second?
Second.
Yes. Just so I understand, these property purchases, is that coming out of the $20 million for the state offices, or is the land purchase money coming out of the $10 million from the College of Engineering?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Okay, just waiting. I was just waiting to be acknowledged yeah. by the chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Burns, it would come out of the $20 million for the – it would come out of the project budget for the Casper office building, but it's all a timing issue. And I think this – I'm not a liaison to the State Building Commission. I think we have a couple representatives here, but we've already put money down on property And I think those options are coming due in March. If not, we'll lose that money and have to re-enter negotiations on this. So
I wonder also if this isn't confusing language with the University of Wyoming versus Casper. Can't you just have a paragraph C under that? Or do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
They're really separate.
Yes, I think you could. You'll recall a prior committee motion moved the balance of the College of Engineering up to number one priority, I believe, of the $4.5 million. So we have to split the $10 million somehow. So that's one option to do it, say $7 million for land purchases and $3 million for the university effective immediately, and then any amount that the university did not get would be the number one priority in the normal appropriation, if that's easier.
And reduced on
and reduced.
Yeah, yes. So nobody's gaining anything on any of this. It's just being efficient, and nobody's losing anything. So it's efficient.
I just think it's clearer
than
somebody looks and says, well, geez, isn't Casper stuff is in the University of Wyoming, and I think you got to be able to deal with it separately. So that a friendly to that?
Oh, yeah, I think that's
all right. Okay, so we understand the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been passed. Anything further?
Mr. Chairman, I think then the other, as we pass the three options in the budget, we need to probably pick the one option. And this dollar amount with this option is the Collins Street. It's option two with surface parking is what that is, the surface parking on Collins.
Okay.
So it's option two with the surface parking on Collins.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion's been approved also. Anything further with this?
I think that.
Did we catch it all?
I just want to make sure with our staff, is that clear? I mean, does that fix the problem? I think.
Mr. Chairman, I think it did. Is it possible to say 7 and 3? Or do you want?
I think so. Okay. I think you could say that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Sure. Put a number to it. And.
All right. So I think as a matter of protocol then, we would need to vote again on the bill as further amended. Yes.
Before we do that, so we just voted on the option out of the three options?
Yeah.
Okay. And that was appropriate for us to do, or as a building commission? They've already made their recommendation that was that option?
They forwarded, Mr. Chairman, I think they forwarded three options to us.
So then, Mr. Chairman, I'm just questioning, and I very seldom question my own abilities, but I'm questioning my abilities to pick the best option there.
Yeah.
Somebody, Representative Stubson? Somebody?
Mr. Chairman.
Casper Boys?
Mr. Chairman, there's an extensive discussion on that last State Building Commission meeting, which was in December or January, first part of January. And so that was, I mean, that's the, my understanding was that was the consensus. Obviously, as a liaison, you don't get a vote on that. That's the state electeds make those votes. But my understanding is when we left that meeting that's the option they were approving.
Mr. Chairman, I think the thing that is clear is we have the ability and the authority to decide which option we want to choose.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I just heard two answers. I don't disagree with Representative Stubson, but I like Senator Perkins' answer. That's the option that the commission chose.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
The commission makes a recommendation and the legislature makes the approval. And so this is in line with the commission's recommendation.
Okay. All right, so let's vote on the bill.
Representative Burkhardt.
Aye.
Representative Connolly.
No.
Representative Greer. Representative Moniz.
Aye.
Representative Nicholas.
Aye.
Representative Stubson.
Aye.
Senator Burns.
Aye.
Senator Hastert.
No.
Senator Perkins.
Aye.
Senator Wasserberger.
No.
Co-Chairman Harshman.
Aye.
Chairman Ross.
Aye.
9-3.
Okie doke. Thank you. So now we got half an hour to start delving into our general appropriation.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This came up yesterday, but I never got clear. Are the rules of this committee that it has to pass both sides?
Yes.
Okay. So the fact that it's 9-3 makes no difference?
No.
Okay, thank you.
On the final votes.
On the final votes, it's majority of each.
Not on the amendments.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, Don is handing out a preliminary summary background, and it looks like the executive summary is 66 pages and the volume of the bill is 101 or something like that. So it's not much of a summary. We just put it in smaller font and larger paper. That being said, I won't walk through in detail every change that was made with respect to the budget, but it is now there before you. You can see the committee's action this year was really extraordinary in terms of the number of revisions to each budget. It's quite common to have an agency or two with 10 changes, and you can see several agencies have two dozen or more changes. So we won't touch base on any one of them unless a member has questions. We tried to identify the magnitude by division within each agency of the global cuts. That is the 1.5% biennial, or also referred to as the penny plan, 1% the first year, 2% the second year, the 10% reduction to in-state and out-of-state travel, the 2.5% reduction to the permanently assigned vehicles, and the 5% reduction to the 901 series. All of those specific amounts have been computed at the unit level by fund, and we've identified each of those amounts within the text of the notes there at the bottom. We've also identified each of the positions that were made, specific reductions, as well as specific reductions or additions to exception requests or independent committee action. Happy to visit about any one of those as we move through the agencies, but I don't intend to read all of those.
Yes.
Is this pretty much what we're going to be giving out on the floors as the cheat sheet?
Mr. Chairman, we do refer to it as a summary sheet. It is, as noted on the top, and we've had great discussion about this, this is an internal work product, and to the extent it is different than the bill trumps. This is what you're using as law. Previously, historically, this summary sheet was provided only to members of the Joint Appropriations Committee. I believe at times only to the chairman of the Joint Appropriations Committee. More modern practice in the past 4 years, we've made this available to the floor, and in fact we've made it available to the public. I would stress that we will need to, and it says draft on here, we will need to revise this because some of your actions, even in the past couple of days, for example, the capital construction appears as the last two pages on this summary sheet. We'll need to change some things.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Co-Chairman.
Just wondering about procedure now. We're going to walk through all this, and then if there's any things that we need to fix or clean up, go through it all and then come back, and then members would have to make motions to open an agency, have to be affirmative vote, and then make that motion if the agency is open. Is that correct? That's how we've done it in the past.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, it's somewhat unusual for the committee to take action other than clarifying action. But, of course, it is the committee's discretion as to how you wish to proceed. I will do my best to run through this as fast as possible. Perhaps we could get done by 2, and then I know you have committees or agencies scheduled to come in late today and tomorrow, and then if you wanted to make some additional changes.
We won't worry about changes. We're just going to get information now.
We're going to get information now, and in fairness, then we would allow, after we've heard from some of the other agencies, the ability for the committee to work further on this bill. Okay. Fewer the better. All right. Don, if you would proceed, please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the Section 1 are the traditional definitions of the various funds. Section 2 starts on page 4, and the first agency is the Governor's Office, or Office of the Governor. What I would like to highlight is footnote number 1, which is a continuation of a footnote restricting the tribal liaisons. Keep in mind that the committee reduced this appropriation by half, but then it is also subject to the 5% 901 series reductions, which takes another $20,000 out of it. So the tribal liaisons are left with $180,000 of their original $400,000. It does require two reports. These are the types of things that I believe this was, for example, Representative Nicholas's motion to see whether or not we captured the essence of your amendment in that language. We did require two reports, and we referenced the established deliverables which were created in 2014. You'll also see we've worded this a little bit differently than prior years, trying to attach it as a condition of the appropriation, and we're trying to make additional efforts in that respect.
So it was reduced by one half by us, and it was also subject to what? I missed what?
The 5%, Mr. Chairman, the 5% reduction to all 901 series, which is professional services.
Right, no, I'll get it.
1 year funded. So right. Is that what we did? I mean, it was.
So normally it was 200,000 and it went down to 180.
Because of the 5.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Mr. Chairman? Yes, yes.
I know it's fewer the better, but I mean.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the way we did or established all of the global reductions was that was based on the standard budget. So the standard budget prior to any committee action, the standard budget was 400,000, 5% of 400,000 was 20,000, and then it was subsequently reduced by 200,000. 400 minus 20 minus 200 gets you to the 180.
Chair?
Yes.
Don, but if we reduced it by half, it seems to me that this is getting a double hit for the biennium rather than just a one-year hit, which would seem to make sense. Or could you explain the difference between those two?
Mr. Chairman, and it's an important point to make, Representative Connolly, but we understood all of the reductions to be made to the standard budget, and there are a couple of exceptions to that. For example, ETS. We did not make that on the standard budget. We made that on the exception budget because their standard budget is zero, and that was also by committee action. So all of subsequent reductions, so for example, if you cut transportation by 10% and then the committee took an additional $5,000, it is 10% reduction plus the $5,000. The $5,000 doesn't come out of the 10% reduction. They're subsequent to that.
So, Mr. Chair, to follow up on that, when we go back and actually revise this, because we're just doing the explanation now, but would you just mark those out when they come up? Because this probably ought to be 190 as opposed to 180, and so we can make those changes.
Right, Mr. Chairman, we probably did it 100, maybe 200 times.
Oh, my Lord.
And you can kind of see this through the notes here. All global reductions get taken on. Yeah.
Totally what I understood.
Sure.
Okay. All right. So y'all understand?
Yep.
The global reductions came out of off the standard budget first, and then anything else on top of that.
Yep.
Okay.
Got it.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, on page 6, footnote number 2, this is, and I'm going to use this language, but it's not the language in the footnote. The language in the footnote says that this $75,000 shall only be included in it, shall not be included in the standard budget. That's a long way of saying this is one-time money. And we use that same language again and again, so verbally I'm just going to refer to it as one-time money. The reason we don't include one time or that phrase in the bill is because then it raises the question, is that an ordinary expenser of government or is that an exceptional expense of government? So to avoid that argument, we don't say one time. Footnote number 3 is a standard footnote from prior years. It requires the deposit of the appropriation into FINERPA. Footnote number 1 for the Secretary of State is broad language, which allows $72,000 to be used for any joint resolution, of which there is one. We know that because the legislature adopted that last year relative to how to invest non-permanent funds of the state, or any statewide ballot initiative that is successful. And we also know from press accounts that the ballot initiative was deemed not successful. But the $72,000 really is still necessary to cover last year's constitutional amendment adopted by the legislature on the investment of state funds. We did not have any footnotes on Agency 2. Agency 3 were relatively straightforward footnotes making two amounts effective immediately, the first for the veterans tax program, the second for the Indian or the Indian motor vehicle program.
Where are you at?
Page 8, footnotes 1 and 2. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Could you repeat what those are? The first?
Mr. Chairman, the first footnote, and again, this is articulated in the notes here, but the first footnote relates to veterans tax exemption. The second footnote relates to Indian motor vehicles.
This is lines 8 and 9 and 11 and 12?
Correct.
And so, just a moment, Indian motor vehicles is the second one. What was the first one?
Veterans tax.
Veterans tax. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, with respect to the Department of Administration and Information, there are three footnotes that we put in there. The first one's, again, very straightforward, $8,000 for OSHA compliance, and the committee made that one time. The second one is worth some closer review. I believe a couple of representatives joined, I think, in creating this language, but it was to provide an extension of the mileage rate for MVMS motor pool vehicles from 100,000 to 120,000. We did include that language that is currently allowed, which allows the director of the Department of Administration and Information to exempt a vehicle based upon condition. For example, if it was in a motor vehicle accident or something like that. Footnote number 3 provides $461,000 from the Capitol Building Restoration Account for a continuation of those two full-time positions in the General Services Construction Management Division. Page 10, we have three footnotes on the Wyoming Military Department. Two of the three are from prior years. Footnote number one relates to a requirement that federal funds continue, and if they do not continue, that those positions that are supported by the federal funds would be eliminated. That's a continuation from last year's footnote. The second footnote provides for, to the extent authorized by federal law, that five firefighters that are stationed at Camp Guernsey can fight fires outside of the boundaries of the camp. Also a continuation. And then footnote number 3 makes $200,000 for the VSOs, or Veteran Service Organizations, one time. Section 8, page 11, has one footnote for the Office of the Public Defender for an effective immediate for capital cases. This is a 85% general fund, 15% special revenue split, as requested by the agency and recommended by the governor. The pipeline authority at the bottom of the page has no additional footnotes, but there are two footnotes on page 12 relating to the Department of Agriculture. The first is to have equal amounts of this appropriation for equipment, a total of $200,000, half coming from the general fund, half coming from the department's special revenue funds, and that that expenditures be made for that equipment in equal amounts, or one-to-one. Footnote number two is a requirement that the $187,500 of that appropriation shall only be for one-time purposes. That also is for equipment, Mr. Chairman. On page 13, the Department of Revenue has a single footnote, and that's for $110,000. And again, this is just to indicate that that $110,000 shall be one-time funding or shall not appear in the standard budget. On the Attorney General, page 14 and 15, we have three footnotes. Footnote number one, I would direct the attention to Representative Greer. This is the NRC stipulation that once a final agreement with the state has been reached, that the any general funds left over should lapse, and that special revenues from the fees of the regulated parties would start to support two permanent FTE in the AG. You will see almost identical language in the footnote for DEQ. Footnote number two is almost identical to a footnote in the Department of Administration and Information, which provides for replacement of vehicles at DCI, or Division of Criminal Investigation, at 120,000 miles or as determined by the Attorney General if there are condition issues, again, in the case of an accident or something to that effect. Footnote number three provides $325,000. I believe this may have been Representative Nicholas's footnote, that those funds can only be expended for hardware and software for switch replacement and only in the event that said equipment fails. Agency 20 has two footnotes which appear on page 16. The first of which is a straightforward $300,000 appropriation for groundwater concerns in Pavilion, and in addition that appropriation is one time and not ongoing. And then the second footnote is almost identical to the Attorney General's footnote relative to the NRC agreement. And once that agreement has been solidified, that the general funds would stop supporting the six full-time permanent positions and associated support costs, and they would roll over to special revenue. Sections 21, 23, and 20 have no footnotes, but section 24, beginning on page 17 and continuing on through 18, has four footnotes. The first three are all one-time designations for $240,000 for humanities, $40,000 for artifact and artwork conservation, and $15,000 for a statewide arts conference. All of them are included, but they're all designated as one-time in the budget via those footnotes. Footnote number four provides for, and this was a question we actually had to listen to the tapes on this one, because you had three motions, but our interpretation was you ended at $50,000 of school foundation program funding supporting the We the People program. Page 19, section 27, this is a continuation of the footnote, but at half the level. It authorizes the School Facilities Department one time-limited position for the period of the biennium. Last year, you had an essentially identical footnote for two FTE for the period of the 15-16 biennium. Sections 29, 32, 37, 39, 40, 41, or 40 have no footnotes. Section 41, fire prevention and electrical safety. The motion, I believe, was all exception requests shall be one time for this agency. And I would note that we do need a technical correction since we prepared this bill last week. On page 22, line 22, we have an incorrect number there. We should have $147,029. And with your indulgence, we'd make that technical correction. It was just a staff error.
Okay.
So on the line, okay, so that 178 figure is wrong.
The 178 figure is wrong. One of those items was not adopted in as an exception request, so it can't be one time because it was never included.
Joke.
Page 23 has, with the Department of Insurance, does not have any footnotes, but the Department of Transportation does have three. And just to give you a flavor, I believe the Department of Transportation had 12 or 15 footnotes last year. So this is a significantly pared-down list. The first one is a requirement on behalf of the, I believe it's the Gold Elite models for the dispatch center in the WildLink program. The state is putting up half of the money, and you are requiring that the other half be provided as a cash match by the city, town, county, or joint powers board, which for which the console is purchased. Footnote number two was a request of the governor's, which was approved by the committee, which basically designates a fee-for-service initiated by the Department of Transportation for WildLink services, and in particular that the first $1.4 million in fees is covered by the existing balance of the local government capital construction account. That is the mineral royalty grant program in the SLIB program, where they normally take this money and distribute it out for grants. The first $1.4 million would be eligible to, for local governments to use in order to pay the charges that are deducted. Now, we did not get specific. I believe the governor's recommendation indicated an amount of static charges, as well as how many units are handheld units, and how much time is used on the WildLink. We left that out of there purposefully. It was their recommendation, but I think the goal was to provide less prescription to executive branch agencies in the footnote. So we indicate that they shall develop and administer a billing system, but are not so prescriptive to say how much cost per minute of use and that sort of thing.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just real quick on that point, with that coming out of the local government capital construction account, that 1.4, that's just for this biennium, right? That was sort of the jump start this this fee system.
Mr. Chairman, they could bring it back in the future, but at this time it's just for this biennium.
Okay, yeah, I just...
Mr. Chairman, footnote number three provides also a request of the governor's budget, in that the Aeronautics Commission has essentially full flex for the programs administered by the Aeronautics Commission. You'll recall the division requested some additional funds for air service enhancement assistance. I believe that's the assistance to local airports. And the governor's recommendation was, in lieu of providing that unit additional appropriation, that the Aeronautics Commission has full flex among the units that it oversees to move money as it sees fit to prioritize. The Department of Health also only has three footnotes as adopted by the committee, and again, this is a reduction from approximately 20 footnotes in the last biennium. All three of these are carryover from prior year. Actually, all three of these have been in the budget for an extended period of time, a decade or more, I believe. The first is authorization for the public health lab to charge fees for testing services. And just as an aside, I know this is probably one of the worst. This raises some caution by our legal staff, and something that a member or a committee may wish to bring up. We've been doing it this way for a decade or more, and it may serve as an opportunity for a standalone bill at some future time. In similar number,
Chairman? Is this red, or is this yellow, or chartreuse?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman. At this point, they're orange. I agree with that.
Mr. Chairman,
yes. Is there any reason we wouldn't want to bring this as a separate bill? We still have time in this session, and it's relatively simple legislation. And that'll hopefully loosen Mr. Albrecht's sphincter muscles.
Effect or not, Mr. Chairman. But yeah, I mean, you could bring a bill if you wanted to.
Jeez, no way. All right.
Let's keep this rolling.
Continuing on, footnote number 2 and number 3 provide for use of the fees paid at the state hospital in footnote number 2 and use of the fees and monies received. Some of those, I believe, are donations as well at the retirement center, and allows the department to use those fees. And this one we have changed. We have, rather than said not withstood Wyoming Statute 94303, we've actually taken a close read of that and restructured that to say as allowed by. So this isn't quite as concerning. Section 049, Department of Family Services, also has three footnotes. For the period of the biennium, the department shall not expend funds to support the overall capacity of residential treatment and group home beds in excess of the combined number of certified beds on January 1st, 2012. We do have, I think we have a question. We use the language that was provided in prior budgets, but and this started again a decade or more ago, and candidly, we, as staff, we don't know what the purpose of the footnote is. We've identified two or three potential purposes, but we'll try to meet with you, you know, at break or something, or if some members understand what the purpose is. There may be a way to rephrase this and get the same effect, but we don't know what the intended effect is.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Nicholas and I just had an in-length discussion here about 2 weeks ago on this very footnote, and there's a legitimate purpose for it.
But you have to guess. You have to guess what it is.
Is that a secret?
Footnotes 2, again, in accordance with Wyoming statute, provide in the budget bill to set the supplemental security income monthly payments, so you have done so. They're established at the rates recommended by the Department of Family Services, and these rates have not changed since the last biennium, so it is static.
Okay.
And then finally, footnote number 3 provides for one-time funding of $8 million of federal funds and $327,000 for contracts with the two tribes. Section 51 has no footnote. Section 53, the single footnote, is simply to indicate that $300,000 in school foundation program funds is one time, or shall not be included in the standard budget. This is the amount of money provided to the economic analysis group up in labor market information group up in Casper that does labor market surveys as well as longitudinal study assessment of the Hathaway scholars. Section 55 has no footnote. Section 57 provides a continuation of footnote number 1 on health insurance and requires that any new positions added by the community colleges beyond the total cap be included in the exception budget rather than the standard budget for purposes of health insurance. And then, again, footnote number 2, this committee reduced the nursing loan repayment grant program and faculty grant program by $1 million. This did come up. We listened to the tapes again, and the motion was that they be equal amounts. And some of the folks asked whether they were proportionate amounts, but the language of the motion was equal amounts, so $500,000 reduction to faculty and $500,000 for grant and loan.
Don, in that regard, what proportionate, what would it be if it was proportionate amount? Do we know?
Mr. Chairman, I believe it's about 65-35 in favor of faculty. We can check that number, though. Moving on, Section 60, 63 have no reductions. Section 66, the Wyoming Tourism Board, does have a carryover appropriation. I believe, Senator Burns, this may have been your motion, to provide for $282,000 or as much as available. That's the amount of money in the FIFI account.
Right.
For continuation of film incentives into the next biennium. There are seven footnotes for the University of Wyoming, the first of which is the original motion that indicated that that the $5 million for of this amount, $5 million shall not be included in the standard budget. You'll recall that you restored $5 million, and then you said $5 million was available solely for purposes of the financial management system. So this is the $5 million that is solely for the financial management system, shall not be included as ongoing funds. Footnote number two.
Say that again, please.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the committee restored a $5 million reduction that the governor had made to the standard budget. That remains part of the standard budget going forward. And then the committee added $5 million. The governor had added $1 million. The committee added $4 million additional, total of five, for purposes solely of the financial management system.
That is correct. And that was our intent. Is that...
Mr. Chairman, and thank you. This is really why we do this. If we miss something, we can have an opportunity to correct it before it goes to the floor.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
Just to be clear again, so is this $10 million more than what the governor's recommendation was for the block grant with $5 million directed towards the financial management system? It's nine.
$5 million more.
Mr. Chairman, I'd have to look back at that. I think he definitely took out five, but I think he actually put back six. $1 million and another $5 million. So this is a $4 million benefit to the university as a result of these two acts. Or excuse me, that's not a $4 million benefit. Yes. Four. You doubled.
Are you, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
When you say that $4 million benefit, and we don't have to solve right now, but there's some for the maintenance, and there's some that was reduced, and then the penny plan applied, which cut $6 million, and hey, we'll get that all fleshed out. Because it's...
that our staff fleshing it out.
Mr. Chairman, on that point, what I recall is there was the ask for the financial system, and if I recall, it was either $4 or $5 million for the system, and $1 million ongoing. And then the testimony was that it was going to be more than they thought, and they were rounding money up internally, but they were still going to come up short to the tune of about $5 million. So we restored the block grant and said, we'll restore the block grant, but you need to direct those funds, that $5 million restoration of the block grant, you need to direct that towards that system. There was also testimony that there was going to be a second phase of that system, which might require an additional $3 million down the road, and that's what we're saying. As we're restoring a block grant, you need to take those funds that are restored and prioritize them towards getting that financial system put in place, I think, which was a management audit directive here not too long ago.
Correct. Okay, done.
Mr. Chairman, I agree. Footnote number three provides for a loan at not higher than 3% for aircraft within the Atmospheric Sciences and Engineering and Applied Science College. Footnote number four provides for a reserve account. This was the very close vote toward the end of the discussion, and this requires a reserve account for aircraft replacement, engine, and instrumentation replacement as well. Footnote number five provides
Chairman?
Yes.
On that, additional amounts to support funding of a replacement aircraft for the one after that, so they don't have to come back to us. Did we ever... get it clear where that the money they my understanding is they're making a lot of money leasing that plane out. Was it ever determined where that money went? Who got that money?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that goes to the Office of Research for them to allocate. But without trying to testify, this footnote number one has limited impact because it's only for the period of the budget. It is not ongoing. But in the reverse, it also could be problematic in that the university may not have sufficient funds to both A, repay the loan as provided for in footnote two, and B, provide for the reserve account funding in footnote number four. At least that's what the university articulated in their report to this committee.
Okay. So part of my thinking on this is most of the – I'm assuming that most of the money that will be spent, be loaned, will be paid back by the leasing of the plane. So who is it that's going to come to us in the next year or two saying, hey, we're not getting the income we used to get because of we were getting the income from the plane leases?
Mr. Chairman, there will be less money in the Office of Research over at the University of Wyoming to allocate for new computer equipment, startup costs for new faculty, additional grants within the university, potentially contributions for scholarly work at the library and that sort of thing.
Okay, thank you.
You know, Don, we're going to need to stop now at this point, and that will also give you a chance to get the right figures. And we'll come back as soon as
I agree on what the figures are.
I agree on what the figures are. And then we'll come back as soon as the bodies have adjourned. Okay.
Now, we need an adjournment over here.
We're here back in our room.
Mr. Chairman, you are ready to move back to the room. Umbrellas and ponchos optional.
Yes,
umbrellas.